Blog Talk Radio.
Those guys doing episode 2, the Monday Night Raw recap, with your host Matt Marrero, along with
Satish Ram, who did not get Paige again tonight, but I am remaining
there was a
patient.
Sign. There was a
I
sign
know.
That said we want Paige.
Really,
I was so confused because I thought, where would she fit? Like, I want her too. I'm not saying I don't, but where would she fit? Like, where would she appear?
Yeah, in the deepest clusterfuck.
Well, sure, why not? Is that the technical
because
term?
Because everybody else.
That's the
is
technical
in
term,
that
I guess.
Match. That is the technical term for the match.
Yeah, yeah.
It is, well, because I believe it was confirmed tonight that it's a one-fall match. So
I still feel like they're joking.
Pinned in what is about 13 or 14 women in that
yeah.
ring. I can't get over the sheer stupidity of that.
I feel like that's a joke, though. I feel like it's a running joke.
No, what's a joke is the fact that Dave Bautista can't have 30 seconds of continuous physical activity without being exhausted. And I know saw that match. And
I did.
The entire match was a rest spot.
The only reason why I was okay with it in this one match is because they did me a favor. They said, no DQ. You know, no disqualifications. Just beat each other up with things. Please, do something. And I thought, well, okay. You know,
yeah,
might as well.
I was interested in that. And, you know, of course, I wanted to see what they would do after, because earlier in the night you hear the authorities say, oh, we're not going to – there's no Daniel Bryan tonight because we've alleviated that problem. So we all knew, because we didn't get Daniel Bryan last week, we had to get him this week. My
you
problem
know, and
that,
not – what?
But – we got, in the last 2 weeks of WrestleMania, 1 minute of Daniel Bryan.
And, you know, I know, but at least we made up for it. For anyone who didn't see this Raw, you know, CM Punk made a lovely return. And I think it was something that's just, you're going to see a blow-up on the internet. You're going to see a blow-up on the internet. Everyone saw that. And if you didn't, go catch it on YouTube or something. Yeah. He appeared and it was lovely. He appeared with the brand split and all of my other dreams that are currently dead.
Right,
like a good Divas
CM
division.
Punk and the brand split happened in the same night.
On the same night.
And by the way, before we go on, we just want to remind you out there, if you're out there listening, you can call in to talk with us as a guest, 718-664-9468, to anyone out there, specifically any people named Giovanni who would like to debate us about John Cena, but
718-664-9468. Did you say 718?
I
believe you said 718. You did? Okay. So then I'm the one that's too busy. Then I'm the one.
668.
Then I'm the one that's way too busy thinking about Bray Wyatt versus John Cena at WrestleMania.
Right, so do we want to pass over the Batista-Orton thing quickly? Because I really want to fixate on the fact that Batista can't work right now. And
But we've been saying that for weeks, honestly. I mean, if you've been hearing us on Spreaker a bit.
But here's the thing. I think he's gotten worse. I think it's gotten to the point where he's actually degraded in ability to work. Tonight was a horrible, horrible example. I mean, his spear at the end also was bad. But, like, on the flip side, you know, if we want to encirculate the entire Batista-Orton things from the evening alone, including Triple H, did you or did you not enjoy the promo that they did for Triple H, the video?
I was really excited, a little bit upset that – what I liked about the promo, though, is that it's just – I like Stephanie's voice. I think it's always nice. I'm a big fan of them being a unit and her just being behind him completely. So to just have her – like, I would love – wouldn't you love for your significant other to just narrate your life's accomplishments?
If I had
wouldn't
one.
You just – would it, oh.
You're the one with the girlfriend, you asshole. But
what
no.
If, no, but if it makes me feel better, what accomplishments do I have? Matt Marrero created a podcast. It's live right now. Now you go do something, Matt. I need more to narrate.
No, but the thing is, it got me where it's like anyone can entertain. There's Booker T, Scott Steiner. I'm like, oh, this is nice. I see what they're doing. You know, this is
so
fun.
I was extremely worried because if anyone doesn't understand the history between Booker T and Triple H, this is not a joke. Go look that up when you're done listening to this podcast.
Very, very quickly, to summate that in one sentence, Booker T was being put down in a very racial way by Triple H because Booker T was supposed to go over at WrestleMania, but he didn't.
I don't see the racism between Triple H, with Ric Flair, by the way, as two white males saying that Booker T had nappy hair. In what way is that racist, Satish Ram?
At least he didn't say Shuck and Jive. But, no, I mean, that promo got me.
He did.
Did he? Damn.
You were
I to CM Punk because
No, really you didn't
jive like Brodus Clay.
No. I remember he said, "Hey, well, you know, you want to do one of your spinaroonies?
There we go.
How about your shuck and jive in the ring for us, Booker?"
Oh boy.
Or he called him Book. Yeah.
No, I that promo just got me because I didn't know where they were going. And I was
yes.
like, but in the end, it's just Triple H. And I almost burst into tears because that
real.
But it's funny because as much as I enjoyed that moment where they got me, I am very much in fear of Triple H burying things. I know it makes no sense, and that's why I'm pretty confident in Daniel Bryan's. But I am very much hinging on the idea that there's going to be some kind of shenanigan thing where Triple H does,
it's just going to end up being
a fatal four-way.
Yeah, it's going to lead up to a fatal four-way with Stephanie McMahon as the special referee. Nothing's going to go wrong there. Everything's going to work just as the WWE envisioned it. Everything's going to go fine. There's going to be no issues. Steph's going to call it right down the middle. Everyone
right,
will agree. Even Hulk Hogan will agree. You know, let me tell you something, Stephanie's sister. You're going to call it right down the middle.
Working off Hulk Hogan. Because we're going to try to speed this up into 30 minutes.
Right.
The Roddy Piper segment was a bit of a clusterfuck, too.
That scared me even more because that segment made me forget about Batista and Orton, which I guess is an easy thing to do. Made me forget about that, and I thought, is this how we're going to...
Give Orton his due. Give Orton his due.
Here's the thing. I give him his due on the microphone, but not exactly in the ring.
But seriously, I mean, when you've got a guy who just needs a rest spot every second, it's really hard to get a quality match out of him. And Randy Orton can put on a good match.
He is
not the most exciting guy out there.
Right.
But he can put on a good match, and he's been doing good work.
And he did his job very well, I'd say. He did a better job than Daniel Bryan did, I believe, actually, because I did not enjoy the match between Daniel Bryan and Batista. Obviously, Batista's fault, but
right.
I have to say, he actually did a better job than Daniel in that one respect, I would say. But, yes, it became a cluster everything, and it was so terrible, if only because... the one thing I have to say I did enjoy. One thing made me happy, laughed
Please
really
say
hard.
Dolph Ziggler? Or not even Dolph.
Yeah, no,
just the really,
because at first I thought he was just making fun of Miz, which is good in itself, by the way. But then he just kept on saying it, and I was hoping more people would show up. I wanted it to go on for the other.
I did laugh because that was funny, and I loved Dolph coming out because for at least a minute, even though we know they're not going to do anything with him, I got to see the Dolph that I loved, where he just comes up and like, Roddy, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to steal the show. What am I talking about? That's what I do. I was like, that's
beautiful.
Because in the moment that he said that, I actually told a friend of mine, I've said, you know, that's what he does. And he just says, that's what I do. I'm just, and it was fun.
Yeah.
Also, Sheamus came out with the line, what is it? It's better to have the world assume you're stupid and keep your mouth shut than to open your mouth and prove the doubt wrong. basically, I know it sounded weird because of his accent. I'm not trying to be racist because some people didn't hear it all, but basically the logic is that better that people think you're stupid before you talk, and then you talk and they know for sure. And it was just really funny. And he basically said, Miz has been doing that for years, so too late on that front.
It was a nice promo, and I enjoyed it. Although,
it made
Piper look tiny, though. And I didn't like that. I thought, why, Piper, have you shrunk? Piper, you're a small man, and compared to the Miz, Sheamus, Dolph.
The Miz, and I just hate that he references the fact that he won a main event, because that's the one thing we hate. He just sits there, and I want to forget it. And he comes out, and he says, I won the main event at WrestleMania. And I'm like, CM Punk was supposed to win, so something at WrestleMania.
That's why I assume that he is a heel now. It's very hard to tell because, you
know,
it depends on the movie. Because it depends on the movie that he's doing.
He's a face, but he's such a dick that they can't actually make him a face.
Yeah, so it's just like...
Titus was there, and nobody cared.
Oh, yeah, the fan reaction for Titus was great. It just was non-existent.
You know, it was good. Dolph comes out, the crowd goes wild. Titus comes out, the crowd goes mild.
Yeah.
That was it, really? I mean,
just JR sells it, by God, the silence in here is deafening.
The silence in here is deafening.
That's
I think he would have sold the growl, where it's like that growl that he does, the bark, the gator bark or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just that could strike fear into the biggest of men or the legends like Roddy Piper. And it's like, JR, you're really trying here, huh? I feel like that's what he would do. But that segment was a bit of a waste. So I don't think the show's going to win,
Thankfully, it wasn't the main event, though, because I really believed it was the main event segment because I thought, wow, they're really pushing this Battle Royale hard, or Battle Royal, whatever it's called this week. They're pushing that hard. But no.
Yeah.
We had Daniel Bryan later.
I mean, if we're going backwards then from there, we can touch the Shield segments, which was ended up being Roman Reigns versus Kane.
Yeah, I'm happy that they I expected that much. I think.
Yes.
Because even though the WWE has been holding him back for a few weeks after that.
And rightfully so.
We're
talking about Reigns, right? I've been on record saying that he's still green, he needs to be protected in tag matches.
Definitely.
But that's okay. Because he has this natural everything, charisma, the look. And he has the power moves. I mean, he's got the spear and the Superman punch. And he's got that ring, you know, the hanging over the ropes kick thing.
And he looked pretty good with Kane this week. I think
what it was, though, is that they kept it stupid simple. They kept everything very simple for him this week. And he can do simple because he's not incompetent. He's very talented.
No.
But, you know, it's good to remember that this was a guy who was a football player and signed with WWE in, like, 2010 or 2011. When you look at Rollins or Ambrose, who were wrestling as Tyler Black and Jon Moxley.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago, in like the 06, 07 time. So Reigns just overall hasn't had enough ring time. So
but thankfully it's in his blood.
Yeah, it's in his Samoan blood where he relates to The Rock and this legendary Samoan family. So he's going to be fine. But, you know, you're right. He did his thing today. And I loved the referee did some grade-A acting when they came in because he's just like, guys, you got to leave. You're going to get DQ'd. Guys, you got to leave. And the Shield just look at him like, do you think we fucking care?
Yeah, which was great because that's another thing I wanted to mention before is that even though they are now faces, there's just something about them that really makes me – because they can still be these kind of guys.
Right? That would be the term.
Anti-hero or what is it? What is it? A tweener? Are we the tweeners?
Yeah, we can say tweener because Punk kind of
Yes,
you know,
and that's what I think we need. I think we need some tweeners because not for everyone, mind you. Like, actually, even in something that we're not going to really stick to, a lot right now. The Los Matadors, doing the switcheroo really gets me because kids, you know, just okay, kids. Remember, if you ever have the chance, cheat the system because the cool people did it.
And I mean, it's just. The Matadors, they have a gimmick that's not going to work heel, where, you know, when you try to work Santino, comedy gimmicks aren't really supposed to be heel, in my opinion. You know, so when you had something like Santino, when he was trying to be a heel, it didn't really work as well. Because now, if you want them to not be a comedy gimmick, that's when you turn them heel, in my opinion.
Exactly.
The Matadors have something that appeals to children. They have a high-flying style that's entertaining. Let them do completely face things.
Exactly.
But, I mean, that match alone was very weird. And
I'm
going to combine that with the Cody and Goldust, because Goldust looked good, again, by the way. But doesn't it piss you off that the Rhodes aren't in the tag team title match and may end up just in the middle of that battle royale?
I try not to think about that sometimes. Well, if we're talking about...
as much as I like the Matadors, right?
If we're talking about what people deserve in the company, though, a lot of things get lost in the shuffle, and it sucks because I have to say that I agree with CM Punk, and the CM Punk quote basically saying, you know, when WrestleMania 30 is coming up, if I was running the company, says CM Punk, when WrestleMania 30 comes up, I'd be worrying about WrestleMania 31.
Yeah.
And it's so true. Because, yes, it's a live television show. Yes, people will leave. People will say this or that. Or, you know, talent can be hard to manage. But at the same time, you should have, you know, a 9 out of 10 of your matches set up completely with very little changes here, though, based on maybe who's over and who isn't.
Yeah, I won't say 9 out of 10. I won't go as far as you. But the general concept I definitely agree with, where I think you're right, where you should have that plan in place, or at least, like, a plan in backups, where it's like, okay, so John Cena is going to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania. If he's not doing that, plan 1A is X, and this is how we're going to make it happen. You know, because you should be able to have that vision, because this is a long-term storytelling thing, and you're building up characters and you know, heroes and villains in 1 year, if only to use them right after. You know, WrestleMania does not end those stories. If you built up these heroes, he has to continue to be a hero, or then have a rational transition into a villain, or vice versa.
Yes,
so
only two matches
completely.
Yes, I was overstating
the short term, right?
Yeah.
But in the short term, Cody and Goldust should be in that tag team title match, because they've put on such great matches with consistency since Survivor Series, especially Goldust, who's been putting on the best work of his career.
I think the problem is, though, and I'll give them this, they're not going to win.
But that's okay, because if you just logically, the roles that they play and the roles that they have played in stories over the past few months, the Matador should be in the Battle Royale, and Cody and Golda should be in the tag team match. And that's
actually, here's the thing. See, I know you don't watch a lot of superstars, but if you did, you'd understand that the Matadors are a big deal.
Because
you would.
They were in a main event, you know, run with the Shield, and they definitely had tag team title runs for a couple months, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, you just missed that.
Had
the Matadors ever fought Cody and Goldust?
I think so.
Oh, I was hoping, what if they pull off their mask to reveal that they are Cody Rhodes and Goldust? And then El Torito removes the helmet to reveal that he is Mini Dust. And then all is right with the tag team division and the title match, right? Everything would be set.
Moving on.
moving on to something
R-Truth
that matters,
and then the, you know, the whole Bray Wyatt John Cena.
I'm really confused. Is the theme of Bray Wyatt beat up on black people every week? Because that's what I've been seeing.
Well, yeah, because he was fed what Kofi and R-Truth, right? Also, by the way, R-Truth sold that finisher like a Shawn Michaels-esque god.
Oh,
he got up and did the fall, and I loved him for that, because that was a compliment. Like, he saw that like he was dead.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, and that gets me, is that here's the thing, too, by the way. And I only make this joke because, I don't know if you remember, this is the second time R-Truth has been fed to Bray Wyatt.
Right, with Kofi in between. I don't know if that's a subtle thing where it's like, no, it was all R-Truth. But I...
No, because, well, the thing is no, Kofi actually was after R-Truth the first time.
Yes,
because
it was R-Truth, Kofi, R-Truth. That's right.
Yes. Yes, and now it's just... Mm-hmm. No. What I'm saying is it was originally R-Truth on Main Event, which is one of the first ever appearances of Bray Wyatt on WWE, like, you know, on the main roster. Then Kofi was at Survivor Series.
Then they had Kofi again recently on Raw.
For some reason. And
two
then
weeks
all
ago,
of a sudden, this... Yes. Yes, and then all of a sudden this week, it's, you know, against both R-Truth and Xavier Woods.
Technically.
Because for some reason, this is why they needed to be on television again.
No, I just, but off that...
This is why.
Semi-serious issue. Because, you know, Xavier Woods could actually be used for something, honestly.
Yeah.
And R-Truth, too. I told you, he was, like, one of my favorite mid-carders. But, this WWE... Credit should be given. They have built up the Cena-Wyatt match as probably the most interesting match.
Definitely.
At WrestleMania.
I would say. Oh, yeah, I would definitely say so. And just these two performers are just... I know a lot of people say what they want to say about John Cena, and most of the time I agree, but he can, you know, bring some good work to the mic if they let him. And I think that recently they're actually letting, at least letting it feel as if Bray is getting to him and as if he isn't this cool, collected John Cena that we had, you know, after his rise where it just became, I'm John Cena. I can beat everyone.
Yeah, and
now
I will say, though,
yes.
And you saw his promo after the whole John Cena faces his fear thing.
Right.
I'll tell you verbatim basically what I said, though. It's just, calm down, John. You're the only one in the room with Renee, and you're given a microphone. You don't need to turn your volume up to 12. Where he's screaming, like, I'm John Cena! And it's like, John. You're the only one in that room. You're on the... Nobody's listening to anything else. And it's just, I feel bad because his John Cena-ness is just showing.
John, your Cena-ness is showing.
It is.
But it's... I have hope for Bray winning, or at the very least, not losing.
No, you don't.
As a... I have slight... What?
No, you don't.
I don't?
No, you don't.
Do I hear something off in the distance?
No.
I think I hear something off in the distance. Is that...
No.
Is that...
No. But...
Is that a prank phone call?
No.
I have to say, I do really enjoy... The thing is, okay, if Bray does not win, which is always a possibility when you're fighting John Cena, I don't believe it to be a squash match. I don't believe that John Cena will just pick up Bray Wyatt, do the AA/FU to him, and then pin him, and then, he did it.
Yeah, I should take a second. I hate seeing AA. The only time I will accept attitude adjustment is in the sense of WWE Slam City, where John Cena attitude adjusts a car.
That was it. That was fun.
Slam City, something you should watch for cheap laughs. It's
cheap laughs.
But, yeah, no, on a serious note with the Cena-wise, so first off, excellent video packaging, good promo work on both sides. And I criticize John Cena. I think he's done some excellent work here. And earlier in the night with the Wyatts, I liked what they did with the Cena and the mask thing. I thought it took a little bit too long to do the mask unmasking scene.
Yeah, because...
But I thought conceptually it was beautiful where he just shows up and you got angry Cena for a second again.
Oh, yeah, yes, because that's what we need more of, I think. What we need more of is, you know, when people forget that even though, you know, even during his rise, he was angry. And then eventually they remembered, oh, wait, no, kids are watching. We have to neuter him. So they
him to this kind of cocky, laid-back guy. And it was the John Cena you saw in the opening part of their angle. Where, you know, he was singing Margaritaville and making jokes about Bray. And then you start realizing that they're doing this Bray is in John Cena's head now. And if you haven't caught, there was an interview with John Cena and Michael Cole outside of Raw. And if you haven't caught that, because basically what Cole used to do was interview Triple H every week.
Yes.
And that was excellent. But since Triple H was preparing for WrestleMania.
Since he's doing more important things.
Right. He said he was going to do interviews with superstars leading up to WrestleMania. He did one with John Cena. And it was a beautiful build to the whole match because basically John was just saying, like, I don't know what I'm getting into because Bray doesn't care about winning. This guy is different than any opponent ever. And that's hard to do as John because he's faced so many people that it's really hard to paint people as different. You know, why should this guy be looked at as a threat to me compared to anyone else? Because you know,
and what I have to say is what's great, and I'm sorry to cut you off, is that he is so different.
And he is, and rightfully so he's different. So, yes, that is easier on John to portray that, but it's being done well. They're doing
very well.
But on that, like, last thought.
Right.
Give me your odds. Bray going over on John Cena or the verse. What do you think happens?
I the only reason why I will say that Bray could win is because I've talked about this with certain people recently. I've gotten into arguments recently. When you look at the numbers, and I know some people will say John Cena doesn't have numbers. No, there are numbers. And I've seen some numbers posted around. John Cena has had a losing streak lately. The last three pay-per-views, he's lost. The last 2 years, actually, have been not a downward spiral. But at the same time have not been the meteoric rise that he had where he sprung to the top. I mean, I believe it was a crazy number where, like, he had, like, 130 wins in 1 year or something along those lines because it was his rise year where he became, you know, the John Cena that we know and loathe. And now, though, it's kind of winding down where his promos are actually what's happening. Where I'm not saying that he won't last, you know, another, like, 10 – he could last another 10 years, honestly, sadly. But I still feel as if he is having that, at least as the character, he's winding down and he's giving some more people the rub that he hasn't given others. So there's a good chance that Bray could win, or if he does lose, he gets to lose on the record because of disqualification. And
so
then this could lead to...
Give me odds, like part or percent out of 100. Bray
wins. That's a hard one. I want to say a 70. Because I can't say a full 100, but I want to say more than half because of these
factors.
I'm going to
say 70.
I'm going to say 70,
and I'll back you up on that because the track record is there where Cena has lost to Daniel Bryan clean. He's lost to Randy Orton clean. And Randy Orton was booked weak. So when you look at it now, Bray Wyatt has beaten Daniel Bryan clean. Bray Wyatt is going to be booked as the top heel in the next year, I think. Because who are you going to tell me is Batista, they know by now Batista just can't do that shit. And they booked heel Randy Orton, as funny as I find him, in a cowardly heel way. So
sadly,
you need a heel, you need a real villain. Because if you take, my comic book knowledge and stuff is not that great, right?
But
you look ahead and like, for a casual fan, right? You've got the Batman. And you can hear about him fighting the Riddler and, like, the Penguin, and that stuff will be bad. But there's not as much of a threat as if he's facing the Joker.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
I see what you're doing there.
You can't just keep throwing Riddlers and Penguins at people and expect them to bite. At some point, you need someone who can be the Joker. You need a really prominent heel to step in and make it seem like he is a horrible, horrible threat. Not only to, like, that one wrestler, but to the WWE. Now, granted, because of the way they've built Bray, it would be a very scary move for them to let him beat John Cena, their hero. But it would be so idiotic, and I know they've done idiotic before, so it's not like they haven't, but it would be so idiotic for them to have Bray lose here. Cena has nothing to gain. Literally nothing to gain. That is the issue.
He has nothing.
Bray has everything to gain and everything to lose. Everything could be devalued now. And I know WrestleMania is a place where faces normally win. I know all these things. But Bray needs to go over here if only because he obviously has a future in this company and this could really, really set him back.
Oh, yeah, and then the rumors, I don't know if you've – I'm sure you've heard them, obviously, if for anyone who hasn't. There are rumors that he's going to fight Undertaker, not at a WrestleMania, but a bit afterwards, because there's some rumor that if Undertaker is still healthy after the Lesnar match, he will stick around possibly for some Sting fight, for Bray Wyatt stuff, and that will be so it would be very upsetting if he loses to Cena, and then at a quote-unquote lesser pay-per-view, he beats Undertaker, of all people.
And now, speaking of Undertaker, to wrap things up here, let's hit on that last match there that I don't think we've really touched on, Undertaker-Brock Lesnar.
Well, because sadly, you know, I like the build-up to this. I love build-ups. I'm a person who, you know, likes to see the sights. I'm not just there to get to the finish. But I do obviously, you know, believe, I think that everyone does, that Taker's going to win yet again.
Does that take away from you?
Not to me, though. That's what I was trying to say. To me, I enjoy the view. I enjoy the sights. I enjoy the road. I enjoy the build-up. I enjoy someone like Paul Heyman getting out there and being Paul Heyman. However, there are some that, you know, immediately just know the end, and then that's it for them. And I disagree completely.
Yeah, I know that it takes away from it. I do. I get it when you know the ending for sure.
Yeah.
But I think that he's still capable of putting on perhaps the best. I mean, the last few years, he's basically put on the best match at WrestleMania. And he can still go.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to it, you've got him and you've got Brock. And although I don't really like the story as much because it just sounds really weird, where there's no real motive for Undertaker to face Brock Lesnar, if only because it's like, you know what, people say you're serious and I want to test myself against you.
Right.
You know.
Right. Understandable.
I don't know.
But
his promo tonight was fun, where he basically went ahead and did the whole...
Yeah.
what was it? Some people think the streak needs to be broken, and some people think that there are three things certain in life: death, taxes, and the streak, which was awesome.
Oh yeah, it was great. You know, I mean, a great thing to end with. You know,
yeah,
on tonight's show.
We're looking ahead to WrestleMania soon. You think it'll be a good card, right?
Oh yeah, I think it'll be a great card, and we will be able to talk about that next week, actually.
Right
after WrestleMania, on the Tuesday. I will not be here for WrestleMania. But anyway, moving quickly to the end here, tomorrow we are going to have a special back to our midnight schedule show talking about Main Event. If not,
right.
we will talk to you about it on Facebook. Oh, no.
Hi.
Why would you do this to me? Are you trying to hurt me?
John Cena was burying
you.
John Cena was burying you. And this is the extra bit.
We've
hit the 30.
We must go. And I must say thank you guys. Yes, thank you guys for listening to those guys. And now I'm sad because I hurt John Cena.
Why did you have to slip that in there? We're on extra time. You didn't even have to slip that in.
Goodbye, everyone.
Get out. You know, all right, fine. We're ending this here. We're ending this here on my accord. Bye.
Thank you guys for listening to those guys.
Get out.